you know, mind over matter. It's about believing in yourself. It's about doing the things that you didn't think you could do, but actually put your foot out there to take a chance and a risk to go and do. And it's interesting because I think if I could change something, I wish I had started off with that first.
Hi, I'm Jason Ramsden, and I believe we can all work on leading a more positive and intentional life. And this show details my journey by sharing my learning, stories, and conversations with guests. If you want to lead a more intentional life focused on being the best you possible, please subscribe today. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Happy December, my positivity posse. It is hard to believe we're closing in on the end of 2021 and 1 year of Positivity on Fire. As the year winds down, I'm excited to share with you my conversation with Shane Lakita, a Navy veteran, a podcast host, and a social media influencer whose penchant for building community and sharing kindness are at the core of his motto, living life to the fullest. My conversation with Shane covers the importance of family, community, kindness, and, most importantly, men's mental health. So let's get into today's episode.
Shane Lakita, my man, welcome to Positivity on Fire. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, my man.
Yeah, I'm glad that you you and I could finally connect and get you on the show. I love that we kind of have similar kind of missions and thought processes about spreading positivity and kindness. And I think for me, at least, when I ended up hopping on TikTok, spoken to a couple of people from TikTok on the show, which is great, right? We've all kind of connected and found each other during the pandemic when it was like you were searching for like that positive thing. You were like one of the first people I found. I was like, okay, I like this guy. I like his vibe. But you were going through some stuff during that time too. So why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about your story, and then we'll kind of
So as many people do know, you know, we tried to find outlets, so whatever we could find during this whole entire pandemic and quarantine. I know that I was still working full time and I was traveling different places, but once they shut everything down, I was forced to stay at home. And for me, I'm not an at-home kind of guy. I like to be out and about and doing some stuff. You know, I had been recording podcasts for a while and this, that, and the other. But I found these social media platforms such as TikTok and Instagram and some of these other ones that were an outlet for me, a way to be able to connect with people while I'm stuck at home, feel like I'm part of a community and be able to go hand in hand with anybody else that's out there. So if we had a conversation, or maybe we opened up to certain things or whatever. So I found this ability to be able to connect with people on a personal level, which I love to do in person when I'm out and about, and I'm getting in different places. So I thought it was a really, really unique perspective. And I mostly hopped on there just to kind of check out what my son was doing and then my family was doing. And then it grew into something more when I started to live by the rule of what I'm really trying to do and give back to the community and invest in other people and stuff like that. And then I started to gain a following because of it. So it was, I was floored by the whole entire situation going, wow, man, this is it's pretty intense about the fact that we're part of an app that we could be all over the world, but we feel so connected and we're so in tune with each other. I needed that at that time. So for me and everything that I was going through, it was a godsend sent my way when I was able to lean in on this children's teenager app, when rather it ended up being a whole bunch of Gen X and millennials and all different age groups that were on there just to be able to connect and be part of a community. So it's been pretty special.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what I love most about it too, and here's two grown men, right, in our like 50s talking about TikTok, right? Yeah. But what I love is people say like they feel more connected and supported there than they do real life, right? Wherever they may be. But what I appreciate about you is you've been super like open and transparent. Like you had a job, you were traveling a lot, and then you lost the job, and then you were trying to find your way a little bit, and you were sharing that, and you were through all that, you were giving back to the community with the work that you do with your artwork. When you look at all of that right now, What's Shane's life motto? What's your life motto right now, Shane?
Yeah, I think I have a couple of them, but the major one that I lean in on is living life to the fullest, right? No matter what. Every day is an adventure. Every day is something that we're trying to be able to make an impact, whether it's a small impact of a high five you might give to somebody, or whether it's a large, huge impact that you might have on somebody by changing a life, by making a donation or doing something by volunteering or whatever it is. I always try to, you know, when before TikTok came around, I was still in that same motto that I was before, when I would take my son and we would go do volunteering efforts at veterans homes, at Ronald McDonald houses. We'd go clean up different parks and different stuff just because it was what I believe can make an impact on somebody. So if you live life to the fullest in believing that you can change the world with positive impacts, with one small action that can cause a ripple, that's truly what I believe. And I think that everything that I do, whether it's through social media, even the jokes and the funny ones that I might put out where I'm lip syncing something or whatever, it's still a way that if I can make somebody smile or laugh at any given time, that I know that when I go to bed at nighttime and I lay my head on the pillow, I made a positive impact on somebody somewhere, somehow, that comes back to me tenfold in the long run. But that's my motto. Motto is live life to the fullest and be a positive impact in the world.
And I love that your motto, right? Have some impact. Who's impacted you over the last year and a half?
Wow. I think, first of all, I think my family, because they've been able to adjust, my wife and my son, you know, I mean, think about this, right? We've all been forced with just like life-changing, upside down situations, including being the only source of income in the household. And then I lost my job. And then we had to refocus everything. My wife had to go. She was working like a really small part-time job, and now she's full-time and she, you know, works over there. And even my son did to have to make certain adjustments or certain, you know, pivots where it was they were quarantined at school and he couldn't go to certain practices, and they had to do like two-hand touch or even outside of that wear masks for sports and whatever else and or not play sports because of everything that was going on. So, you know, those are the ones that impacted me the most. But I will tell you, if you look, I don't know if they have a video section of this podcast, but there's a set of a rack of mugs and different stuff and artwork up here, and my face painted over here, and woodwork and posters. This is the community that has been part of TikTok. These are the people that during the whole entire time didn't know me from a hole in the ground. They didn't know me from anything, but they knew that I went live and I was sitting there just trying to spread positive message and do positive things and give back to the community and do good things. These are all gifts from people that just took the time to be able to say, I want to send you a mug, or I want to paint a painting for you, or I want to, this one was done on a live while we were dual living each other. And she was doing this while I was playing music on there. And so she sent it to me, and it's this really, you know, cool painting. And so really, truly the community itself and the people that were part of the community or that have been part of the community and the tried and trues have been truly a game changer for me in this whole entire time frame. So they've been my inspiration.
I appreciate that you went in that direction, right? Some people could go in another direction. I think there's a trend now, even on TikTok, where people are like, oh, tell me who's the largest TikToker that follows you. And I think it was Polly B went the other way and was like, no, who, like, shout out the people who are in your community. And you just did that. And I think that's, for me, like, that's the essence of Liquid Chano right there, right? Seriously, like, that is like your essence. You're all about community. You're all about connecting with people. You see it online, and it, you know, it's good to demonstrate that in a conversation like this, right? You could have gone anywhere with that, that question, right? You went right to your heart, I think, which is connecting with people. So I'm glad to know you mentioned you have a job now, right? You went through, you're back, you're busy, so you may not be connecting with people as much,
right?
But what right now, what is your biggest motivator in life?
I think it's really just being a good example for my son. To be a good, an example of being a good person, right? That gives back, a good person that is a good dad, a faithful and loving husband, somebody that treats women with respect, you know, those kind of things. So I'm in that zone right now where my kids, you know, he's 16 and he'll be graduating soon. He's a junior in high school. And if I can continue to live my life to be a good example for him, but also to be a good example for, you know, the community that I serve here, right, within this whole entire thing. So for me, if I can be a good example and my inspiration and the things that I'm trying to be able to continue moving forward with, that would be it right there. I just want to be we were talking about this the other day on another podcast. It's funny you asked this question, but we were talking about it the other day and somebody asked the question, if you pass away tomorrow, right? If you're gone tomorrow,
right,
and somebody's reading your epitaph or somebody's reading your eulogy and they're going through all the stuff that was there, would you be proud of what that person say about you? Or would you be, I should have done more, right? Like, where are you at with that? It's interesting because I feel as if I can live my life to the fullest every day and also continue to invest, I know that that impact that I have and the fact that the example that I set is a good one for people to understand that when I do, they're going to look back and they're going to say, that guy invested in others. He encouraged others. He believed in others and he kept things moving forward. And I feel as if I'm falling in alignment with that path that I'm meant to be. You know what I mean?
I think you are. It's one of the reasons that I was drawn to you. It's one of the reasons lots of people were drawn to you, like that you live and breathe it every single day and you show that to people. So I'm curious, during this time frame, over the last, we'll call it, I don't know, 18 months or so, what's something you learned about yourself?
Yeah, there's a few things. So I journal every day. I write down one or two things whether it's how I'm feeling. My podcast is also part of my journaling as well.
Right.
But I feel as if I have, I learned throughout this whole entire process that I have a lot more patience than what I thought I did. Because when I lost my job and here I am a single income household, and now I've got to figure things out of what I'm doing and how I'm going to be able to navigate things forward. My internal mechanism inside is I need something right now. This needs to go on right now. And I need to make the same exact amount of money. And I can't, I can't, you know, not move forward. But what I learned about it is that sometimes when you wait for things and you're patient for things and you, although I was still grinding and I was applying for jobs and I was all this other stuff, but the right thing came along. Finally, I have a job that actually matches who I am, that I can actually bring some of that positivity to the table. Yes, is it paid a little bit less? A little bit, right? I get paid a little bit less than what I was. Is there less travel? Yeah. Am I home every night with my family to have dinner? Yes. And so these things matter to me and it matches in alignment with the things I've been wanting to do for years. Yet I was in this job that I did for 16 years that I was just grinding every single day. So for me, I learned that I have a lot more patience than what I thought I did because I started to go, okay, something good will come out of this. I just need to continue to stay the course and continue to fight the good fight and keep on moving things forward. And it has. And I think that that's a big learning for anybody to know that they have patience to be able to wait for the right thing to come around. Just keep on working at it and it'll come to you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great point, Shane. Because people say, oh, we're right in the middle of the Great Resignation. People aren't happy. They're shifting. And I read an article the other day that says, you know, let's call it the Great Reshuffle, which I love, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're going to reshuffle, you have to have patience.
Right.
You have to have patience. Whether you are reshuffling because, like in your case, you were forced to reshuffle.
Right.
Or you just decide, you know, like me, my wife got a great new job and I decided I'm not going to go back to what I was doing before. I'm going to pivot and try something different. And so patience. Yeah. I'm in the middle of a lot of patience, right?
Right.
Right now, full-time content creator, but it just speaks to, like, I think what people need to hear right now is like, be patient. Like, and that's hard. You said it yourself. It's hard to be patient.
Yeah. My growing up, I was in the military. I have a military family. We're all get it done now and make it happen, you know, and if it wasn't done right now, it should have been done yesterday. Or if you're 5 minutes early, you're running late, all these things where all these, you know, mannerisms that we had that we were just kind of like, you know, grinding it out and being able to make it happen. For me, I've come to realize, my wife even said it. She goes, I've noticed that you are much more calm and more patient than what you used to be because you've learned to be able to just sit in the moment and listen and observe and be able to have a conversation that goes back and forth rather than just me ruling the conversation because I'm a loud, boisterous guy, right? And I used to be like, let's just go do this and let's go make that happen and let's go do whatever. When rather there's people with amazing ideas and amazing things around you. If you just open your ears and your eyes, you never know what the people around you can teach you and help you to learn along the way.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%. And the other thing is, too, is you're out there putting stuff out into the world and being, like you said, an example for your son. You never know who's watching either.
Right.
They may not provide you feedback. They may not tell you how things are going. They may not connect with you. But impact is impact.
And, agreed.
You know, I fully believe that 100%. And you still need to make sure that you stay focused and you put stuff out there for folks. And it just takes time. Everything takes time. So, you know, I really appreciate the patience conversation that we're having. So it's good. It's good. Now, you mentioned that your new job is with a paper company. And, you know, we talked about that before we got going with the recording. And I immediately went to like, are we going to see Shane riff off The Office now with some?
I've already been called Michael Scott a bunch of times already, my friend. Yes.
That's where my mind went. I was like, okay, I can see skits happening here. So.
Well, you know what's funny is that I didn't realize until I got my feet wet in the business here where, you know, we do paper, we do like brochures and different stuff and flyers and this, which is just normal stuff. Right. But what in the state of Maine, about 2 years ago, they legalized cannabis and marijuana. And what we've done is we've realized that with the amount of equipment that we have, that we can make stickers and logos and designs and all this stuff. What happened was, is we got in with one of the cannabis companies to do like stickers for their labels, for their jars and everything else. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, every single cannabis company is coming to us going, hey, can you help us out with this? So all of a sudden, 3/4 of our business now is all through the cannabis industry because they need they resupply. They have to do all these different stuff. So it's interesting where I thought if I'm going to work for a paper company, I'm going to be sitting there just like, Michael Scott printing papers and doing flyers and, 8.5 by 11 and letterhead and whatever else. But it's really been a whole different adventure about the whole untapped industry of where we're at with cannabis and everything else here in Maine that it's just interesting to look at it. And when you get in on the ground floor of something like that, it's like everybody will always come back to you for that, keep coming back to you. So it's almost like residual income. Yeah. So it's been something that's pretty amazing, actually.
Well, yeah, if you do good work, they're going to come back to you over and exactly. over again. Yeah. I'm curious, you've done a lot of stuff, but you're pretty public on social. What's one thing you would do differently if you knew no one would judge you for it?
I would. So when I started my podcast was around probably about 3.5, almost 4 years old now. So it started off as a weight loss podcast, mm-hmm. and I niched down to being very specific with that weight loss aspect of it. Right. So I was cornered in, even though I treated it more like, okay, if I want to lose weight, I need to get in the right mindset. I got to think about the right things. I got to do the right things in general. But, and I would journal that and I would do it often, like I'd do like a 5-minute one here or a 20-minute one there or whatever, just to be able to make that happen. If I could change something, I wish that I had started off with the mindset first, like to really talk about mindset in general. Right. Because what happened was that as I started to grow as a podcaster and I started to expand my horizon or expand my viewpoint or anything like that, I started to talk about it, but I was very niched down to those weight loss folks, right? And so I had to rebrand a little bit to kind of push that out to try to get other individuals to know that it's not just about weight loss. It's about, mind over matter. It's about believing in yourself. It's about doing the things that you didn't think you could do, but actually put your foot out there to take a chance and a risk to go and do. And it's interesting because I think if I could change something, I wish I had started off with that first and promoted that and then maybe layered in some of that weight loss piece to it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love some of the numbers that we have with the podcast and the people that listen to it. They're loyal following and it's just amazing to me. But I do feel like I niched down and I kind of quartered myself into this small group here rather than a broader scale, which I'd like to impact more that way. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. I understand.
Yeah, it didn't expand as much as I wanted it to. Not to say that it won't happen down the road, but it's just one of those things of I wish I'd started that way and gone down that direction in the beginning.
So if you're a fan of Shane and you're listening to this episode, don't get mad at him. He's not saying he doesn't appreciate you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'm humbled every single day by the amount. I mean, it's just crazy to me, man, that I'm just a guy that likes to drink beers, to hang out, to stay healthy, be a good dad, be a good husband, and just continue to move forward. And I have a following of people that love to see me, love stopping into my lives, love stopping in to be able to say hello. And it's so humbling and amazing to me that the community comes together like that. It's just crazy to me. It's crazy.
All right. With the new job, are you able to do lives in the morning as much, or are you having to cut back a little bit?
Yeah. So I've cut back a lot. I was doing lives pretty much every morning. I would go live on TikTok and then I would go onto Clubhouse and I would run a room over there, which is all audio. And then, so when I got the job, I had to whittle that down. So what I do is on Tuesday nights, I do a live session where I play all request music. So people will come in, they'll say, here's the theme, and boom, boom, boom. And we get in there, we jam out. And some people go in there and they'll sit there the entire 2 hours without saying a word, just listening to the music and me talk. And then at the end, they'll be like, hey, it was a great session. Thanks so much. I'm like, holy, you've been here the whole time. And they're like, yeah. So on Tuesday nights, I do the music one. Sometimes on Thursdays, I'll go live. But Saturday morning and Sunday morning are the mornings that I go live with coffee, because I'm not working. And, you know, for me, it's a nice relaxing. The sun's coming up. I can just chat with people and, you know, connect with some of my West Coast folks. So I've definitely whittled it down some. So I feel like I'm missing out on some of that, you know, connection piece. But I also know that like the Tuesday ones and whatever are growing bigger and bigger every time as the word travels, you know?
Well, I know I'm ever working later on a Tuesday. I'll do that. I'll put you on and just listen. Because I think there's another thing I appreciate about you is I think we both have that eclectic taste in music. You like a lot of different things, like, you know, country, old school rock, rap. I mean, you name it, it's kind of all over the place. And so when I hop on, I know it's going to be a journey. And so I appreciate that. I don't even have to like watch. I can just, you know, put on the earbuds and listen and do a little bit of work. So
it's awesome.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. What's something, you know, you've done a lot of stuff, but what's something you've always wanted to do that you haven't done in your life?
Yeah, I think my next adventure, I would love to see my when my son graduates and he's doing his thing, and whether he's going to college or he's doing the military, whatever he's doing, I really want to start to travel and take a look at things with my wife, you know, go travel around and go see stuff like maybe Niagara Falls, which I've never seen. Now, I've seen 48 countries in my lifetime, you know, while I was in the military, mm-hmm. traveling the world, all over the European section and some of Russia and some of all these other countries or whatever. But I did it while I was in the military, and I never really had a chance to sit down as a civilian, of somebody that can actually enjoy some of that finer stuff, some of the finer points in life. And the one thing you don't do in the military a lot of is travel throughout the United States. You travel throughout the world.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I don't get a chance to go see some of these beautiful, wonderful states that are out there and all the landmarks and different stuff. So my goal is to eventually travel, maybe get an RV or something like that, and just go on weekend trips or week-long trips or whatever else, even while I'm still working, just to be able to take some time off and go and experience a little bit more of the world that not many people get to see very often. So that's on my set of goals that I want to be able to accomplish.
Love that. Now, don't put too much weight in the empty nest, because they somehow come back.
Yeah. So. Oh, I know. I heard all about this. I've heard this from many people, that you might think they're gone, but oh no.
Something like the pandemic brings them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is there a place in the U.S. that you've always wanted to go that you like is high on your list?
Yeah, well, so about 2 years ago, my wife and I, so I threw an event. So we have a Facebook page that's another health and related Facebook page called No Finish Line Nation. My friend, myself, and another one all started this page. So we have like 40,000 people in there. And we were throwing events. So we did an event up in Boston where like 300 people from around the country showed up at this. We had a DJ and we had all kinds of fun. Nice. And then we did one out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where we went out there. And so my wife and my son and I took the time about a week vacation afterwards to go to the Grand Canyon, the Hoover Dam, take the trip all the way down to Vegas and then go over to San Diego and stuff like that. So it was so amazing to see some of the things that all you do is see in textbooks or pictures or photos and things like that. Right. So when I'm standing there at the Grand Canyon and I'm looking around me going, it looks like a painting to me. I couldn't believe the enormity and the absolute, it took my breath away. And so I feel like things like Yellowstone or going to see, I've been to Washington, I've been to a lot of things on the East Coast. So I'd like to go West, Central, and Northern, maybe even out to Seattle, see the needle and go listen to some good grunge music and drink some coffee. I don't care, whatever it is.
Yeah. I was in Seattle this summer. I think you would enjoy it. It's good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Good vibe to it. You know, very nice.
Can't wait. I think for me, it is you only live once, and we're only on this earth for a short amount of time. And the way I look at it is that not only am I investing in others, but I'm going to invest in myself and my wife the same way. for us to be able to experience the stuff that maybe we didn't have time to do. And maybe we're too busy working all the time that you need to take the time to make sure you're investing and make sure you can keep moving forward. Happy wife is a happy life is not something that I shake a stick at or anything like that, because it's the truth. And if you guys can continue to invest, it can lead to a nice long marriage and keep things moving forward. You know what I mean?
I do. How are you investing in yourself right now? What are you doing for yourself?
Yeah. So for me, I'm just starting to get back into working out. I'm just starting to get back into exercising, eating right. I mean, I had lost about 130 pounds at one time, and then pandemic hit, and then loss of job hit. And so I gained a good 50 of that back, you know, just because of eating and stress eating and all that stuff. So I'm just recently started to get back into drinking more water, exercising more, doing the things that I know make me feel better, even though I was in denial because I'd like those chocolate ring dings and, you know, those ho-hos and whatever else that I like to eat. But for me, it's important because I want to be around for a long period of time for my wife and my son as well. And, you know, if I did it once before, I can do it again. It's just a little harder as you get older. When you start to hit that 50 years old, it's like your body says, oh, pal, you thought you could lose so much, but not anymore, my friend.
not as quickly as you could before. Yeah, no, I hear you. I've been on a similar journey. I think I have lost and found the same 50 pounds, I don't know, 5-6 times over the last 30 years. It's funny how it leaves and it comes back. Somebody once said, you know, try not saying lost, because when you lose something, you want to find it again. Say that you dropped weight.
Right.
Like, that's brilliant. That's like it's a mindset thing.
It is. Right? It really is.
Change in words, just a little bit of change in words, you know, when you have those limiting beliefs, if you change a word in the mindset. So now I'm like focused, okay, I'm dropping weight. I'm not losing it.
Yeah.
So hopefully I don't want to find it again.
I love that. That's great.
Well, you know, you get to a certain age and you think this is maybe the last time I actually have a chance to like get my life together from a health and wellness point of view. Right.
Correct.
So I get that. It's a journey I've been on myself. So
I think the other thing about it is this, man, so I'm a big advocate for mental health, right? Huge advocate. And for me, the month of Movember here is what we call it. When I used to always shave my face clean and then just grow a mustache, but I'm into exercise part of it right now. But raising awareness around mental health, especially when it comes to men, here we are, two guys talking about stuff like that, right?
Right.
Weight loss, or talking about how we think about things or our mindset over certain things. And I feel as if men don't talk about it enough. Men don't have conversations. Men don't go to see the doctors. Men are stubborn individuals. Just rub a little dirt on it, it'll be healed, or whatever else. When at the end of the day, it's more important for you to have a conversation with somebody that will listen to you when you don't even think you need to be listened to, but you do, right? So when I'm an advocate for myself, when I go to therapy or I go to see somebody to be able to just have a conversation, that's not my wife. It's not my kid. It's nobody else. It's a third party that literally sits back and goes, tell me what you're thinking. It has so much of an impact on my life as a male to know that, oh, you know what? It's okay if I feel that sensitive about that, or if I feel down about that, or I feel sad about that. And I feel that we don't do it enough. So I'm appreciative that you have a podcast that's very similar, right? Very similar to talking about these types of things. How are you feeling? Where are you at? What are your goals? Those kind of things, because men don't like to talk about it. They're always boasting, I am man, hear me roar. Yeah. I am good. Yeah. I make fire and I make, you know, manly things. And when we should be sitting down talking about how we're really feeling about things and how we can walk it through and be the best version of ourselves, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, have been on a journey since, you know, my wife accepted a job. We didn't move till June, right? So we're new to New England. And by the way, how come nobody told us it gets dark at like 3:30 up here?
It is pitch dark outside right now.
Exactly. I was like, 3:45, it's starting to get dark. Nobody filled us in.
No.
But, you know, I had like 9 months to figure out like who I was, and I've been on this journey, and, you know, I have a coach. I've had two coaches. I have, you know, an accountability partner, like deep conversations about these kinds of things, trying to figure out, you know, who I am and my own self-discovery journey.
Right.
But it's so important, right? When are we going to normalize that it's okay not to be okay, .. for men?
Right.
Right. Right. And
Take away the stigma. The stigma's got to go.
Exactly. There's just so much stigma. And you said it, right? Be strong, toughen up, don't cry, you know, all that kind of talk that you hear. But, you know, that never resonated with me. Like, I'm an easygoing, patient, empathetic, you know, rom-com tier kind of guy. Like, and I have a son who's 23 and I have a daughter who's 21. You put anything on about a daughter getting married, like a commercial, and I'm like on the couch, like
tears are flowing.
Yeah. And we don't talk about that, right? We don't normalize that. Though I'm happy it's something that my wife appreciates about me, that I don't, you know, that I'm okay with like getting a little sniffly even at, you know, a commercial.
Well, I mean the statistics show that men compared to women, it's a 3-to-1 ratio comparatively to suicide, and men going that route quicker than they are to try to get the help or talk about those feelings. So you're a guy that watches commercials or whatever else and tears up to it, you know, what's funny is as you're saying that internally, the machismo guy in me goes, and then I'm like, wait a second, what are you talking about? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, changing the narrative and changing the stigma around it's okay to cry, it's okay to be emotional, it's okay to whatever. It doesn't mean you're less of a man or less tough than anything else. It just means you're in touch with that side of where you're at. And it's even better if you share it with others to let them know it's normal. It's okay. Exactly. You know?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. The coach that I'm working with, you know, they said to me, you need to get to a point where you can sit in your own self-worth. Like, I'm going to say that again for listeners. Like, you have to sit in your own self-worth to kind of work through things. And when you spend some time doing that, like you mentioned journaling, I agree. Like, journaling is a huge part of that process. But when you actually sit and go, you know what? I do have value and worth, even if I don't feel I do. I'm a human being. I have value and worth. And a lot of that comes up here. And like you said, most men will take that and they'll either go, you know, in the wrong direction with it, right? They'll go in the way wrong direction with it. Yeah. Movember, huge for you. I appreciate you being out there and spreading awareness about men's mental health. I should say too, thank you for your service. Navy guy, man. Right?
Yeah.
But I understand, right? You and your dad was in the military too.
Yeah? He was. Yep.
Yeah. And my dad was in the military. So when you grow up in that lifestyle, toughen up.
It's tough as nails.
I know all the routines. Yeah. Like, there's a routine to everything. And you have to be kind of structured and on point. And there's no margin for error.
No. Yeah. There isn't. And, you know, and that's okay. I mean, it's okay to live that way. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad I have some of those tendencies at times, right? To be able to make sure that I'm on task or on point, or if we're trying to be able to move things forward with it. But the what I've changed in my life and the age that I'm at now is we can move fast along that whole entire thing. We can continue to move down that road. But if I have to adjust and pivot and be able to step back and stop for a moment, it's okay. I used to not, I'd be like, listen, we're going to bull right through this thing and we're going to get to where we got to get to, whether come hell or high water, when that's not always effective. More effectively is when you can stop and take these little checkpoints for yourself to be able to say, oh, how am I doing with this? Maybe I need to adjust this. Maybe I need to move this over. Maybe I need to try this or that. So the part of that self-discovery is really giving yourself some grace and move things forward. If you're not really doing the exact thing you want to do, but that's okay because you can adjust and move things a different direction or a different way to get to where you want to get to, you know? So right. I think that's just important.
No, I agree. And one of the things I try and tell people on this show is like progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about men's health, men's mental health. For the guys out there who are listening, like put it into the context of football, right? Life is like a ground game. You may gain 5 yards. And then you may lose 2. You may, you may gain 1. You may lose 5. But it, sooner or later, you're going to have that really big pass play that like gets everybody excited.
Right.
That's life. Like it's okay to move forward and move backward and move forward and move backward. And to be able to accept that, I think, is an important part of, you know, development as a human being. Right. When you recognize that, then everything comes in sync and you're making lots of big plays, lots of
the time. I love that. I love that. Yeah. I always do sports references too, man, internally in my head, just because I'm a sports guy. So. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you have to do what works well for you, right? Whatever it is that helps you kind of wrap your head around whatever it is you're going through. So if it's sports or something else, you know, go for it. Like I believe that 100%.
There is one thing that I wanted to share that I feel like it would be important even for your listeners and my know, because if they listen to my podcast, they know that I talk about this all the time. And we talked about journaling, but we also talked about whenever you, I always believe in the old mantra. I heard it from a leader way, way back in the day. And he told me, if it's on paper, then it's on purpose, right? If you write something down, it has value to it. Now, if you just speak to it, that's great. I can speak to the heavens about how great of a person I might want to be, or, you know, at sports and whatever else. But if you put it on paper, it becomes something on purpose. And so something you just said a minute ago around continuing to move forward or journaling or trying to be able to write down those feelings or the things that you want to be able to do. One of the things that was taught to me in the beginning, which I believe wholeheartedly is a game changer for me, is that every day when I wake up, I go into the bathroom, of course, like anybody else does, and go in there, brush my teeth and whatever else. And I'm looking in the mirror, and on the mirror, I have listed out the things that I'm most proud of about myself, right? You have to think to yourself, what are you proud of about what you're doing right now? Not what you want to be or not who you want to become, but right now in the here and now, you got to have one, two, or three things that you're super proud of or that you're just proud of in general, whether you're a good dad or you're a good mom or a wife or a husband, or you're successful or you have money saved away at the bank or you paid off some bills this week or whatever it is. You write those things down and you stick them on your mirror. So that way when you go to brush your teeth or you're going to kick off your day and you're looking up, instead of that negative feeling that we may have, oh, I feel like I'm overweight. I feel like my hair is all out of whack. I don't feel like I'm looking that good today. And then you look at all these positive affirmations that are on the mirror that you wrote down, that you took inventory of, that you can go, oh, wait a minute. All those make a lot of sense. You know what? That's absolutely right, because I'm wallowing in my sorrows right now when I should be looking at things that I actually do have and that I can actually attack the next thing that comes around with those same exact energy that I had from that. So I feel like it really does work. And I feel like anybody that's listening or that's out there, you should try it, because you wouldn't believe how much it could just change from a negative to a positive within 2 seconds of reading some of those words that you wrote.
And that's exactly sitting in your own self-worth, or standing in it in your case, in front of the mirror. But that is exactly it. Like, you have to name what you're good at. And for folks that are listening, you're good at something.
Correct.
You are 100%. You've lived a life, and somewhere in that lifetime, you found out something that you're good at. You may not recognize it. You may not understand it yet. But when you start to do the journaling and you start to do the reflection, you quickly realize, no, I have something to give to this world. I have value and worth. And this is what it looks like. But you're right. If you don't put it down for yourself to see it.
Correct. Quantify it.
You know, I'm pointing to my head. The brain gets in the way. Right?
And it screws with that. My brain gets in the way all the time.
Big time. So, Shane, what's something nobody could ever steal from you?
I would say they could never steal my heart.
Your heart.
My heart, because no matter where I'm at with whatever I'm doing, no matter what kind of pitfalls that I may have, no matter what kind of, you know, detriments that may come around, the things that I might fall down and skin my knee and have to pick myself back up, my heart is always the thing that keeps me moving forward with whatever I'm trying to do, whether it's volunteering, whether it's, you know, giving back and all those things. And I feel like it comes from within, for you to be in a place where you know that you can continue to push forward and keep moving things forward. I don't let anybody ever deter that, ever. Even if it gets frustrating, even if I'm at a place where I'm like, you know, I didn't have a lot of people show up to the volunteering event, or maybe something got canceled, or maybe I had something come up or whatever. I never let it deter me, because my heart's in the right place and I'm always thinking the right way. You know, it was funny. The other day we were talking about these avatars, these little cartoon characters that I do.
The ones that you do. Yeah.
Yep. And so I draw these for people, and then I take some of the money. I used to take all the money. I used to charge $25 for an avatar, and I would take all that money and I would go to tip servers and bring it to veterans' homes or homeless shelters or whatever else. So what I did was listen to a lot of my followers, including my wife, that said, you put a lot of hours into those avatars. I mean, it takes you 3 to 4 hours at least to be able to draw at just one, right? So you're sitting there trying to draw it. You're putting this out there. So what we did was that we were charging $50, 25 of it goes into the pot to give back, and then 25 of it for commission.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, right. And so it makes sense to you, and it makes sense to me. in a way, but my heart got in the way of me going, man, I don't want to be taking any of that money for myself, right? I want to just continue to give back, not really realizing, again, what you said a second ago about your worth. I am worthy of something like that. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? So exactly. I have to understand, to your point exactly, to understand that I have a talent, that's something I'm bringing to the table. I'm giving back to the community. I'm still moving that whole ball forward. But on the meantime, this is also my worth of what I can do and bring to the table. So I have to be reflective of that. But my heart gets in the way of me going, oh, man, I don't want to be charging. Yeah, I just want to give everything back. And my wife was like, listen, yeah, you work hard. You work hard and you deserve to be paid for your work. And I went, okay. You know, so it's one of those things that's a good thing and a bad thing, because my heart can never be deterred for the things I want to be able to do. But it also gets in the way sometimes of me being able to do those other things. But I love my heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I know that your company recently took some of your artwork and put it on big poster board. How did that make your heart feel?
Oh, man, I was floored by it, because my boss came into the office and, you know, he had just recently followed me on TikTok and he was like, I saw I did like a display, like a TikTok where I said, hey, listen, all you hip hop heads, here's some of the things that I did for my hip hop session. So I had like a graffiti board, and I had like a brick wall with a guy like saying hip hop. And I did a Beastie Boys one, and then I did Biggie Smalls, and then I did Tupac, and I did all this stuff. And he saw those and he was like, well, we have graphic designers that design a lot of our stickers and labels and stuff like that. Right. Wouldn't it be cool if they knew that you actually did that? You're not just the boss. You're not just the general manager, but you actually do some of the stuff that they do. And he goes, let's blow that up. Let's put that up there. I was like, I'm fine with it. Well, then one of the other employees goes, oh, this is happening. And so they put them on these huge poster boards, man. I was like, oh, my God. But to your point, I was so floored. I got teary-eyed, because I was like, I had never seen anything that I've ever done artwork-wise on that scale. I've never seen anything, you know, put onto something more than just a sketchbook or an iPad or a piece of paper. You know what I mean? For me, it's always been small stuff that I've just kind of worked on. I've never really publicized that. So it's funny, since I've put those in the office, I've had three or four people wanting to buy it from me. Like, sure. Telling me, hey, are you selling those? Because I need a Biggie Smalls
one. Absolutely. I would take the Biggie Smalls one 100%. I love that.
It filled my heart with a lot of pride. And again, like you said a minute ago, to know your worth, I think it was another one of those moments that I could say, hey, you know what? I'm damn proud of that, man. Instead of belittling it to go, it's just a piece of art, man. It's just something that I'm doing. Instead going, man, you should be proud of the work that you do with that thing. Even if it doesn't move mountains, it's still something that moved you, and you did it, and you're talented enough to be able to put that together. So I have to park there sometimes and tell myself that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're a talented individual, Shane. So
I appreciate that, man.
And you should get paid for what you're worth. Yeah. So, now, I know you're on social, you have your podcast, you put a lot of stuff out there. People know your story. They may not know the story here, but even for your listeners, people who support you online, what's one thing people don't know about Shane Lakita?
Let's see. I'm a pretty open book. So there's I share a lot. I do. I share a lot of my journey in the military. I share a lot. I think the one thing that I don't share as much as I like to, or I'm not ready to a lot of times as much, is my father's story. So my dad, who was a military man, 28 years in the military, he was a musician. So he played 28 instruments. His main instrument was the piano and the accordion, and just super successful, played music on his own after he retired and, was in a band and everything else. And then due to a head injury that he had while he was in the military, he started to show signs of dementia. And at 67 years old, he went into full-blown dementia, and then he passed away about 2 years later with Alzheimer's, just like catatonic, not talking or anything like that. So a lot of people, when they see me do a lot of fundraisers for Alzheimer's Association or Men's Health or Movember, because my father was also another one that didn't want to go to see the doctors and didn't want to go get the help that was necessary for him to get a lot of times, which I would always recommend him doing, but he was just that guy. He was like, I'm fine. I'm good to go. Even all the way up until the time when he was talking at the end, where he started to lose the thought process of his mind, he was still as stubborn as hell. And he was still like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm good to go. And we all knew he wasn't. So for me, you know, I'm really passionate about the fact of when I go to do things, and part of my last year's 12 Days of Christmas fundraising for the Avatars was a donation also to the Alzheimer's Foundation, because I know that it's just important to me. But a lot of people don't know that because they just know bits and pieces, you know. And so on my lives on Tuesday nights, if I play Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here, or I play, you know, a Piano Man, because he played piano.
Yeah.
I get super emotional, right? But they don't really know why. They just know, oh, he lost his dad. It just reminds him of it. But it's because you go from living with a guy that was the energy in the room. He ran the room. He was an entertainer. He was able to just bring out the best in people, and just, you know, he would entertain and do everything. He actually played at our wedding, and every, you know, it was really, really cool watching him and the way that he ran the room. And then if we were at like parties or get togethers, everybody knew who Bob was. That was his name, Bob. Everybody knew who Bob was because Bob ran the room. Bob was like, "Hey, man, I'm here. I'm over here. I'm migrating to this person and that person. I'm working the room." So to see him go from that point into laying there and not being able to speak at all, and us just feeding him, was such a devastating thing for me, because I was like, "Man," and that was the biggest moment that I got to the point where I said, "Okay, I need to live life every day to the maximum." Because you never, ever know when that goes away or when that's going to be taken from you, right? So that's one of the reasons why when I opened this podcast, I said that's my motto, is to live life to the fullest. Completely, that was one of the biggest reasons, is because of my dad watching it being pulled from him. I know I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm going to live my fullest so that if it does happen to me, they're going to say, oh, that guy lived to the fullest. You know, so that's a little bit about me and my family. A little bit
about you that people may not know. And I can tell you, Shane, I just got chills because you opened up that way, live life to the fullest. And then you came full circle and you closed the episode with it, with the story about your dad. Like, I'm like literally have chills up and down my body, because we didn't know that was the direction it was going to go in.
No.
But when you, again, you know, the empath and the family man, like that whole full circle thing, it just like hit me, you know, it hit me.
That's
in my
awesome,
heart,
man. So, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah, no problem.
Shane, I so appreciate you being on the show today. You know, not everybody who listens to my show may not know who you are, where they can find you. So where can people find Shane Liquid online?
Yeah, you can find me on any of the platforms. Most of the platforms, I'm at Liquid Shano or at Liquid Shano 1973. So on TikTok, I'm just at Liquid Shano. On Instagram, I'm at liquid.shano. And the rest of them are all Liquid Shano 1973. So if Facebook or whatever else. So most of the platforms that I'm on, if you go into my profile, you'll be able to see a link to everything, the podcast, the social media aspect, the merchandise store, everything is right there. So you'll be able to check it out and follow any links to it. I'd love to have you guys on board and be able to make more impacts and spread that positive message to more people. It'd be fantastic. It'd be amazing.
So again, folks, I'll drop that in the show notes for you so you know where to find him. Shane Liquida, Liquid Shano, thank you so much for being here today.
All right, Jason, man, I appreciate it. Thanks. Keep spreading that love and kindness as well, my friend. We'll keep doing it together, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see you on the social medias or whatever the kids call them.
Whatever the kids are calling it these days. That's right. All right, man.
Here are three things I learned from my conversation with Shane today. One, spreading kindness can change the world. Two, building community is paramount to our mental health. And three, men's mental health remains a taboo subject, which needs more attention. If you like today's episode with Shane Liquida, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen, and please share this episode, as word of mouth is the only way this show's message grows. And finally, as I close every show, thank you for being here today, my friends. Your gift of time listening to this show means the world to me. And as always, be well, be happy, be you. And until the next time, may your quest for positivity begin today.
If I can live my life to the fullest every day and also continue to invest, I know that that impact that I have and the fact that the example that I set is a good one for people to understand that when I do, they're going to look back and they're going to say, that guy invested in others. He encouraged others. He believed in others and he kept things moving forward. And I feel as if I'm falling in alignment with that path that I'm meant to be.
For more on my positivity quest, follow me at @JAYRamsden on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you liked today's episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast app or visit podchaser.com and search for Positivity on Fire. Positivity on Fire is a production of Impact One Media, LLC. All rights reserved.